We saw pictures of them. It was all over media. You want to try to get a job after your face that has gang rape all over it? People's lives were ruined.
Well,
because you didn't want to fact check.
In the end, this one got enough coverage that only Jackie's life was ruined.
Oh.
Because everybody else in this has been so thoroughly vetted, and this story's been so thoroughly discredited in so many outlets that nobody believes that event happened the way it was described anymore.
Of course.
So it was a rare case where the media actually got it right on the back end, but got it way wrong on the front end. And I hope Rolling Stone is ready to pay out a lot of money, because they're going to be paying out a lot of money because they screwed up big time on this one.
No, and this Associated Dean students, she has absolutely a justification for wanting her name cleared.
She's getting paid, unlike the student athletes. In technology news, student athletes should get paid. In technology news, your face could be in an FBI database with questionable access rules. The Center for Privacy and Technology at Georgetown University revealed that 117 million Americans, about one out of every two adults, have facial recognition data stored in law enforcement databases. Unlike fingerprints, which are only collected when people are arrested, the facial recognition data was taken without public disclosure or consent, mainly from driver's licenses. Georgetown University also noted that there are no rules in place anywhere in the United States to determine when and how law enforcement can access facial recognition data, and that personnel have no training on how to properly use the data collected. It's not good. This partly came to light because this database was used during the Baltimore protests.
In trying to figure out who was involved.
And trying to figure out who was actually organizing and who the ringleaders were in all of this. Once again, the way that this data is collected is you go to the registry, you get your photo taken. Hey, we do a digital photo now. And in addition to putting one on your driver's license, they put one in a database. You never consented to this. You never even knew this was going to happen. You now have no idea who is accessing it or why or under what circumstances or even if they're doing it correctly. This is every bit as bad as what the NSA was up to and is still up to, if we want to be frank about it. And we have to make a decision in this country collectively of whether or not we think the government compiling lists and compiling data about us that anybody can access under any circumstances without any kind of a court order, with any kind of oversight, is a good idea. And I point to Austria and Germany, which really are at the forefront of Europe's strong privacy protections. There was a story that broke yesterday involving privacy, and they were talking about this. Or actually, it was Frontline that I was watching last night. The United States maintains a database of everybody who flies and everywhere they fly. It's called the PNR, Personal Name Recognition. Europe had been encouraged to use this to try and identify people who were flying to Syria and other places where terrorism has taken root, and then coming back to Europe so they could track their movements. Europe said no because of privacy protections. And when asked, you know, and they were asking an analyst, why are they so hung up on these privacy protections? And they said, because they have bad history with this. You only need to look back to World War II and what was done by the Nazis to understand why governments making lists of citizens is a bad idea. Why government collecting data on citizens is a bad idea. Private enterprise shouldn't be doing it either. But with private enterprise, we can more or less assume that they're doing it just to sell us more stuff. The government can do with that data is far more frightening.
No, absolutely. And when you first posted the story, it came up on the newswire that I was looking at. And initially, the headline was one out of every two Americans has their facial recognition in a database. I didn't even think of driver's license first and initially. You know, I'm sure they're using the argument, well, if you get pulled over, it has to pop up, and you know, and But there are so many instances in our everyday lives where facial recognition is being taken place. I mean, look at what was going on where... Was that... what was the gaming system that was automatically on the video
The camera? Microsoft Xbox.
Yes.
Could listen to you even if the camera was turned off.
So... That is taking a picture of you. It's taking a picture of your surroundings. We, in so many parts of our lives, everything is being recorded or it is being watched or somehow facial recognition. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
When you pop up on Facebook and post a picture, it automatically knows who it is. That's frightening. I guess we do it to ourselves with technology, but when we start talking about driver's license and it goes into an electronic database, it's being accessed by the police, which is also accessed by the government and can be used in any way.
When our government is collecting this level of data without our knowledge or consent, we as a nation should be outraged. The reason we are not outraged is because we don't have the bad history and the bad experience to inform why we should be outraged. Let us continue to be fortunate in never having that experience.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Plenty of sun up in the sky today. It is unseasonably warm for the month of October. And that really doesn't show any times of any sign of stopping in the next few days. Tonight, lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, some clouds blowing around. High around 60 degrees. Lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow night, chance of some showers late in the day. Friday is going to rain, but it's going to be hot. Highs in the low 70s, lows in the upper 50s on Friday night. Saturday, autumn comes back. The rain clears out in the morning and is followed by much, much cooler weather. High of about 60 on Saturday, but then we fall back into the mid-40s on Saturday night. And on Sunday, a blustery autumn day. Wind blowing around, partly cloudy skies, high in the mid-50s, lows in the mid-40s, heading into the low 40s, upper 30s in some of those cooler corners of the Commonwealth.
It's weird for you to say 30s when it was 75 today.
Yeah, it's been...
Welcome to Boston.
Yeah, the first day of this was kind of weird, that fog last night. Mm-hmm. I'm down on Route 1, and you might...
Yeah, I was rolling in on... Because I was at work last night, it was... Coming in on the water.
There was that story about the two swimmers.
Yes, and they couldn't find him.
Got lost in the fog. Mm-hmm. And I know some people were sitting there at home last night saying, how the heck did they get lost in the fog? That fog blew in out of nowhere. One minute it was clear, and the next minute you couldn't see 10 feet in front of your face. And if you were down, because we're right down on the coast, not immediately on the coast, but within a couple miles of the coast where mm-hmm. my office is, you couldn't see from one side of Route 1 to the other. That's how bad it was. I'm sure it was that bad down where you are.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't see the airport.
That was exceptional fog last night. You can thank the warm temperatures for that. It is WMFO Medford. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. Happy birthday to Chris Earle is tomorrow. So tune in to Time Travel next week. Call up Chris. Wish him a happy birthday. We wish him a happy birthday. When we come back, actual issues are going to be harmed at long last. In our discussion of the 2016 presidential race, right here on WMFO Medford.
Any time is a good time for broiling thick, juicy steaks, indoors or out. What kind of steaks? Tenderloin, porterhouse, T-bone, sirloin, or rib steaks. They're all naturally tender and excellent for broiling in the top USDA quality grades, prime, choice, and good. Prime is the top grade, and choice is almost as high in quality. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So... we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Well, Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary and I'm Lisa Nichols. We are here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. As always, we want you to be a part of the show. If you agree with us, disagree with us, give us a call. You can call us at 855-915-9636. Again, that's 855-915-WMFO. We have the last and third final debate happening tonight at 9 p.m. So, of course, we are here on The Big Picture to get you ready for that.
Call up your friends.
Because, our pre-show is much more entertaining and informative than anything that you will hear.
Call up your friends. Tell them to turn off that CNN pre-show or the Fox News pre-show or the MSNBC pre-show because we're actually going to talk about issues.
Yeah.
And we're the only ones. I don't think the candidates are going to talk about issues tonight. I don't think anybody's going to talk about issues tonight. So just to throw a disclaimer on the front of this, it is a quirk of our license here at WMFO that we are not allowed as a public radio station. We're not PBS level, but we are a public organization. We are not allowed to endorse candidates, and we are not allowed to present a biased coverage of the candidates. And here on The Big Picture, we strive to do that. Unless something is so egregious that we have no choice but to say, yeah, everybody's on board with this.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not endorse candidates, and we do not take particular positions on their positions. So our goal in presenting this is to tell you where they stand and what they're doing.
And for the most part, we try to really go down the center on a lot of issues and give you both sides. We're never ever going to tell you how to think or to change your mind, but we're going to give you possibly a different perspective.
We have a conversation and we leave it to you, the listeners, to decide how you feel about what we say and what you think is right and wrong. And as we go through these issues tonight, we're gonna hold to that. So we're going to start this segment with domestic. And the first issue that we have, and I've structured these as questions for our listeners, and this is what you should think about. Do you believe the minimum wage should be higher? Which is a very big issue for a lot of people. Donald Trump has not committed to a higher minimum wage, but he has said there should be no federal floor that determines the minimum wage. When he was pressed about it in July on Fox News, he said he supported a $10 minimum wage, but also said it should be up to the states to decide. Although no formal position has been put forward, Trump appears to want to remove the federal minimum wage. This is really what he's saying. Put me in the White House. I'm getting rid of the federal minimum wage. We're not going to have it anymore. Mm-hmm. Let the states decide what it should be. Now, you can look at that in one of two ways. You can either look at that and say, well, states are going to compete to have the highest minimum wage. Or you can look at it and say, the minimum wage in Arkansas is going to be 50 cents. And Mississippi will be a dime. Because states may choose to do that.
I actually had the same exact question. And I had posed the question, do you believe that somebody flipping burgers should make $15 an hour?
See, that's a different question. That's a loaded question. And it should be. It's not about flipping burgers. It's about minimum wage.
But for the majority, what we're talking about and the rhetoric that has been going on with any conversation that's talking about minimum wage is talking about fast food workers. And a lot of the conversations that are coming out of how does a fast food worker, if we're talking about, if the politics, what they're talking about, they say that a fast food worker cannot provide for a family.
Which is true.
On their salary.
Which is true.
Which they cannot. But the question that I ask you is, when was a job like a fast food restaurant, which has always been seen as maybe a side job or a second job, was that job made to provide for a family?
First thing I'm going to say before I answer that question is fast food worker is a dog whistle. And I don't like dog whistles on this show. And in general, we don't like dog whistles on this show. So as you say fast food worker, everybody's like, oh, the black people. We're talking about the blacks. And it's like, no.
I don't think people have that connotation.
Me, there are a lot of people that have that connotation.
I don't.
Enough that I would prefer not to talk about the fast food worker, not to limit it to that one example, but to talk about the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also applies to retail. Okay? It also applies to...
It blows my mind in seeing how
seasonal
much...
Seasonal workers.
The other day, I went into Stop and Shop, and I saw that they were paying $15 an hour to work on Sundays, and it was $13 regular. I know teachers that have had years of schooling that have been a teacher for 25 years and are making $12 an hour. It's insane to me.
Well, they should work less is what they should do.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Can't they just work
less?
But
again, my point of view is minimum wage jobs were never meant to support a family, because that's what we have in our head. We're saying they can't support a family on this wage. Well, then get a second job. That is how my family grew up throughout the generations, and so many other families that I knew did.
I agreed with that perspective, and I agreed with that perspective as recently as a year ago. And by the way, I'm going to point out that in addition to all of those other things that Trump has said, he's also said that he wants people out of minimum wage jobs mm-hmm. as quickly as possible. He agrees with Lisa that these jobs were not meant to support a family. I agreed with that position at one point in time. I don't anymore. And the reason I don't anymore is because one area where this election has been illuminating is in the subject of globalism and the effect that it has had on our economy. You say go get a second job, to which I will say, where? Where is that second job? Where can I find that second job? Because in a lot of communities in America, that second job no longer exists.
Go work in the restaurant industry, because across the country, there are searching for people. In it. There are jobs there.
In Boston, those are good paying jobs. In Kansas, those aren't good paying jobs.
Yeah, but the cost of living is also much lower
but
in
it's
Kansas.
It's not that much lower. The jobs that we lost in this country, and we broke all of this down a couple of weeks ago, the jobs that we lost in this country were manufacturing jobs. And those manufacturing jobs paid, on average, right at the median income level of the United States. They created middle-class workers. Those jobs are gone. And what's left in their place are retail jobs and low-end food service jobs.
But then you have to ask the question, why are those manufacturing jobs gone?
Because
they are going overseas.
Because
they're non-existent here in the country.
China competes unfairly.
Exactly.
Because Vietnam competes unfairly. Because other countries compete unfairly.
So, I mean, we're talking about a whole slew of everything that's leading up to this one problem.
But here's the thing. You can't fix that tomorrow.
No,
there's no way
that
you can fix that tomorrow. Our economy used to be based on manufacturing. And as Americans, we can do one of two things. We can either adopt a protectionist stance to try and get those manufacturing jobs back here, although there are some new reports that are coming out that say, talking specifically about Walmart trying to repatriate manufacturing and discovering that so much of it is automated now that the jobs still don't exist.
Okay.
You might have needed 50 people to manufacture something 5 years ago. Now you can do it with three.
Of course, if we say that everybody gets a minimum wage of $15 an hour, the initial thought would be that people have more money to spend, so they are going to be putting it out and buying more goods, getting more services. The thing that I fear is that a lot of people can't compete. So we understand that big corporations, they can easily pay people minimum wage $15 an hour. But what about these small businesses that can't? Small landscaper that can't pay the $15 an hour?
If everyone,
the mom and pop store
can't
pay.
The reason they can't do that now is because their business model is predicated on being cheaper than everybody else. Okay? If that option is taken away, if everybody starts at the same base level and every landscaper has to charge you $100 an hour to mow your lawn, then Americans are either going to pay $100 an hour to get their lawn mowed and all landscapers compete equally, or they're going to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And more Americans may choose to do it themselves. That may, it will mean
no, and eventually
fewer jobs in the short
eventually,
term.
Eventually down the line, yes, I do agree that this could work. It's going to generate more revenue into, or putting more money into the country.
But where my thinking on this has evolved.
But it is. The first couple of years, it's going to be a problem. Companies are going to go out of business. People are going to lose jobs.
No one disputes that. But over...
But that's reality.
Over a... Like, people are going to lose jobs either way. People are losing jobs now. Okay?
But how much are we going to drop in the first couple initial years?
You're not going to see 75% of the workforce disappear. You don't have to worry about that. But this is where my thinking on this has evolved. When we were a manufacturing economy, and when those manufacturing jobs were available to people with high school diplomas or less, you could make an argument that you could maintain a minimum wage because people who wanted to work and people who were willing to work could still earn a middle-class living. Those jobs are gone. If the base of our economy now is service, and those service jobs pay minimum wage, we have to move the minimum wage in line with the average median income in this country if we want to get back on a path to growth and prosperity. That's basic economics. Now, here's what Hillary Clinton wants. Hillary Clinton favors a $12 an hour federal minimum wage, which is up from the $7.25 an hour. She's not going all the way to $15 at the federal level. She did support $15 an hour in New York State and believes that the federal minimum is just the, this is a quote from her, believes from her website, believes that the federal minimum is just that and encourages states, cities, and workers through bargaining to go even higher, including a $15 minimum wage in places where it makes sense, end quote. Hillary is very pro-union. A big part of Hillary Clinton's solutions is let the unions, more unions, let the unions negotiate this. Let's have more unions. I don't know that we need more special interest groups in this country. That's a bit of pandering to a Democratic base that may or may not be an honest assessment of her position, but that's where she stands. Donald Trump wants to get rid of the federal minimum wage. That's pretty much what he said. But if we got to have one, $10 an hour, Hillary Clinton, $12 an hour, but it should be negotiated higher. Me, I'm on $15 an hour. I think we need it. Lisa wants everybody to go get five jobs.
Well, of course, a crazy gun lady needs to bring into the guns. So the question I asked, should we have restrictions on guns? So Donald Trump, he has, throughout the whole time, has opposed gun control. But in the last 15 years, a presidential candidate that has only become more conservative on firearm regulation. So he's really standing alone on it. Hillary Clinton is for assault weapons ban, universal background checks, and to close loopholes. This is something that the Democrats really push in saying that Republicans are all crazy because we're, you know, the NRA money pushing. Not true. As Senator Hillary Clinton voted against the 2004 bill that would have banned lawsuits against gun manufacturers for gun violence and voted for an assault weapons ban in 2000, speaking to the National Education Association, Clinton illustrated broad support of gun control in the name of protecting children. She said, quote, "We have to do everything possible to keep guns out of the hands of children. And we need to stand firm on behalf of sensible gun control legislation that passed the Senate and was watered down in the House. It does not make sense for us to, at this point in our history, turn our backs on the reality that is too many guns and too many children has access to those guns. And we need to act to prevent that." The only thing that I disagree with that, because I do believe there should be universal background checks, absolutely 100%. I don't agree that this whole thing about putting gun in children's hands, for the majority, it's not. I think that we have a major problem in guns that are unregistered, and that is majority of where they're coming from. Of course, you're far right. Republicans are going to say that the Democrats are trying to take away guns.
Sure.
It's not happening.
It's a good marketing tactic.
Of course.
When it comes to actual gun bans, I don't think you find any distance between Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Donald Trump in that none of them are going to do it. Obama probably came closer to doing it than either Hillary or Trump ever would. So you're not going to see any, nobody's going to ban assault weapons in this country. Nobody's going to ban any kind of weapon in this country. We are one of the leading arms producers on the planet. It is a big part of our economy. The guns aren't going anywhere. Under Hillary Clinton, maybe you get universal background checks if you can get the NRA on board. And I think the same thing would be true for Donald Trump.
I was going to say, you don't think it would be for Trump? Because I believe he would do that.
I don't, I, th- I think he would support universal background checks.
I think there is so much conversation going on right now with guns. Something has to be done, regardless of who becomes president.
But at the same time, he's a populist and a pragmatist who flips his positions quite a bit. We have to be honest about that. And I think it's one thing when you're in the race and you know I can get the gun people on board if I say I'm not going to do anything with guns. Then you get in office and you say, well, you know what? Actually, most of Americans want me to do something about guns.
And I don't know if it's, you know, the connotation of running as a Republican. You have to have the stance on that everybody should.
You pretty much
have the rights to bear arms in Second Amendment.
It's GOP orthodoxy at this point. You know, and it is steeped in, you know, the conservative principle.
And it's taboo to step outside that box.
Well, it's steeped in the conservative principle of less government.
Well, so many times I think some people would call it flip-flopping, but he tries to stand on that fine line of understanding that people want to have gun restrictions, but also to maintain that, you know, quote-unquote, like, Republican face.
Well, everybody wants gun restrictions on everybody but themselves. I don't want anybody else having a gun, but you're not coming to my house and taking my guns away. You never hear, I defy you to tell me the one time that you've heard a gun activist say, they're not taking our guns away. It's always, they're not taking my guns away. I want you to take the guns away from all the scary people who shouldn't have them, but don't touch my guns, I'm okay. You can't have it both ways. Mm-hmm. Either everybody in the country is armed to the teeth, which is the case right now, or nobody in the country is armed to the teeth. We're not ready to go there yet. But ultimately, neither one of them... Hillary has come out forcefully in favor of the background checks. Donald Trump has not. But I have a feeling that her support for that is not as strong as she's made it seem. And I have a feeling that Donald Trump's opposition to it is not as strong as he's made it seem. And whatever the NRA decides ultimately wins the day.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a whole lot of money going to Washington from them.
If you got a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate and Hillary in the White House, maybe you could get the universal background checks passed quickly and without a lot of fuss. Anything short of that scenario, things keep going as they have been until another pile of children wind up dead somewhere. Or we have running gun battles in every city of the United States. This is an interesting one. Do you support paid leave? This is the question that I would ask everybody. Do you support paid leave? Europe, of course, they get 3 months off. You have a kid, you get a medical problem, go have fun, enjoy yourself. Donald Trump supports 6 weeks of paid maternity leave. He only talks about maternity leave on his website. He has said in interviews this may apply to medical leave as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump frames the conversation in terms of maternity leave. So that's the only thing that we can say is guaranteed under Donald Trump. There would be no cost to businesses that do not currently provide leave because it would be funded through adjustments to unemployment insurance, which every company is required to have. So you'd basically pull those 6 weeks out of unemployment insurance as short-term disability or pull it out of an existing short-term disability and you're good. He doesn't give an exact number on how much you should be paid, but we'll assume that it's probably 2/3. He's a little vague on some of his positions. Hillary Clinton wants a federal guarantee of 12 weeks paid leave for a new child or for a medical emergency at 2/3 of a worker's current wages. That is her specific proposal. 12 weeks paid leave, 2/3 of your current wages. There is a ceiling on how much that paid leave should amount to, but she doesn't spell it out. So a company doesn't have to pay $5 million.
Now, do either of the candidates mention anything about taking care of a family member, a sick family member? I know some insurance companies do.
Hillary Clinton calls it paid for maternity leave or medical leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in theory, would apply in all cases. Donald Trump only talks about maternity leave. Now, the interesting thing about Clinton's plan is she promises that there will be no cost to businesses for this because it will be paid for by, quote, making the wealthy pay their fair share, end quote. What Hillary Clinton is talking about is a new federal entitlement program. That's what this is. Donald Trump is looking at this and saying, let's take unemployment insurance. Every business has it. That pays for your 6 weeks of leave. Hillary Clinton is saying, I'm going to give you 12 weeks at two-thirds of your salary through Medicare?
Through, yeah, where is the money coming
from? Through Medicaid, through unemployment, she doesn't say. But that is, by definition, an entitlement program.
So it sounds great, but again, you have so many questions of asking where is the money coming from?
Where's the federal bureaucracy comes into it and all the rest of this? Now, to be fair, it is an entitlement. It is an entitlement that should probably exist for the American worker, mm-hmm. because every other country in the world provides paid maternity leave, paid sick leave. They prefer not to have their workers die on the job or come to work the same day that they have surgery. I mean, I see all of this.
I was going to say, I see it all the time.
You know,
recently I knew somebody that had it was a mild stroke, but the obstacles that he had to go through. He had four kids and this was leading into September, so they were going back to school. It was somebody that has been with a company for a long, long time, and he was only given paid maybe 2-3 weeks and nothing else. That's it. So it blows my mind that happens. How are you supposed to provide for somebody and especially it happened on the job?
Yeah.
So
Hillary Clinton's going to give you 12 weeks, but it's a federal entitlement program. Donald Trump is going to give you 6 weeks through an existing program. Which do you think is a better deal?
Well, going on same-sex marriage, Donald Trump consistently opposed to same-sex marriage. He also loosely opposes bathroom bans and conditional support of religious freedoms bill. Donald Trump has repeatedly tried to show that he has gay interests. You remember that time that he was talking about all his fabulous gay friends and wished Elton John happy birthday, his also gay friend. But in 2011, he told the Des Moines Register that gay people should be prohibited from marrying and receiving same benefits as straight couples. In 2013, he also told MSNBC that he was evolving on the issues. As of most recently, he has been more open to it. I feel like he has again flip-flopped and said that yes, he's really hasn't talked much about it. Now, on the other side, Hillary Clinton, again, has kind of a spotty history with gay marriage. She's consistent on support of the Non-Discrimination Act, which Donald Trump is against, and is opposed to religious freedom bills, and is generally supportive of transgender rights. You have not heard anything coming from her camp talking about, or much, about the bathroom situation, especially. I think she referenced once North Carolina and saying what they're doing. I think that's the message that everybody's sending across the country and saying that's stupid.
Yeah.
But Hillary Clinton made the success of gay marriage a highlight of her campaign, and invoking the newly won 3 times on the LGBT section of her campaign website, issuing a celebratory statement after the Supreme Court decision that legalized gay marriage and including a gay married couple in her campaign announcement video. So initially she was really for it, but hasn't touched much of it. I don't think we will ever see a situation where DOMA will be repealed. The conversation mostly that's going on right now, again, coming out of North Carolina, this back and forth between should transgender people, or what you identify as, should you be allowed into the bathroom? We have this far right message, and these are the crazy people, so I hate to think that I'm a Republican involved.
I want to call them crazy people.
Saying that
Jesus says you go to the bathroom and it corresponds with your birth certificate.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible, page 342. Jesus says.
But it's not that a man is dressing up as a woman to go into a bathroom and pray on children.
They're going to the bathroom to pray on our daughters. They're dressing up as women because
that's
they're all sex fenders.
Crazy. And if you can find me one instance of that, I would love to talk about it on the show
because
does not exist. It never has.
Prior to that idea being put in people's head by the media, there were no stories about that. Now there's a bunch of them. It's like the clowns. Somebody hears, oh, clowns are scaring people, so they're going to go dress up as a clown and scare people.
Don't give people ideas.
Yeah.
So
that was the original clown hysteria, mm-hmm. by the way, was the transsexual pedophile in the bathroom.
No, and so much He's
Mama June, Mama June, there's transsexual pedophiles in the bathroom and clowns in the woods.
But so many issues are involved with the election. And I think these things like this, things about the idea of gay marriage on what the candidate believes in, affects how many people vote.
Which is why I have been saying for quite some time that the Republican Party would do itself a huge favor if they had just dropped their opposition to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Tell your conservative base to go find somebody else. If you're that opposed to gay marriage, if you're that opposed to transgender rights, if you're that opposed to abortion, go start your own party. Because we're
sick. No, and there's a lot of people that are in the, and I'm being one.
We're sick and tired of losing to the Democrats because of this issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is what smart politicians would have done three election cycles ago. But no, here we go again.
No, many people in the Republican Party identify themselves as being a Republican, being fiscally conservative, but also being liberal, socially liberal, and believing in things like gay marriage and abortion and whatnot, but don't follow the typical guidelines of being a Republican.
Part of Donald Trump's appeal back in the primaries was that he was seen as moderate on these issues, as opposed to a Marco, or, well, I'm not going to put Rubio in there, but as opposed to Ted Cruz, who was blatantly obvious that he was opposed to gay marriage and opposed to transsexual rights. Jeb Bush, pretty obvious, coming out of Florida, opposed to gay marriage, opposed to transsexual rights. Rick Santorum, poster boy for being opposed to this kind of stuff. Donald Trump had an appeal among moderates because in addition to appearing to be tough Republican, we're going to get tough on China, we're going to get tough on ICE, we're going to get tough on all this, we're going to get tough on the immigrants. We're not going to talk about abortion and gay marriage for the next year and a half. We're not going to be talking about that throughout. And those issues actually haven't come up that much in this campaign because Democrats every now and again will trot that one out, but Donald Trump isn't talking about it. There really aren't that many Republicans talking about it outside of what's going on in North Carolina. But those issues have really kind of faded into the background in this election. And it does the Republicans huge favors when that happens because there are a lot of people in this country who will automatically vote against them regardless of what other ideas they have.
Because they think they're bigots. And
because they think they're bigots. Yes. Because they see them as the party of hate. And interestingly, young Christians, young evangelicals don't support those views either. They don't support...
There has been a huge movement away from it.
They don't support the anti-abortion position. They don't support the anti-gay marriage position.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to both political parties is that you can be evil in one way. You can have one totally evil, hateful position. Because the American people will overlook that if nine of your ideas are good and the tenth idea is let's throw all the gays in jail. Or let's force everybody to wear a dress once a month.
Mm-hmm.
If you have two of those ideas, the American people are much less likely to vote for you. If half your platform is those ideas, you're done. And that's kind of where the Republican Party is right now. There are too many ideas based on evil and hate, and it is not doing the party any favors. Because a lot of voters who may like some of what the Republicans stand for just see, we're going to roll back women's rights, we're going to roll back gay rights, we're going to roll back all these rights, and I'm going to be in a worse place personally. Because people don't understand the finer points of tax code and international relations and what that means to them individually.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel it the same way they feel somebody who is in love with somebody else wanting to get married and being told no by some idiot county clerk. So ultimately, I don't see either Hillary or Clinton, either Hillary or Trump doing much of anything on any of these issues. Because...
And I think they're both not talking much about it because nobody's forcing it.
They don't have
to.
So
you don't have one side... You don't have Hillary Clinton saying, look at Donald Trump, he doesn't believe in gay marriage. Because again, she has been very spotty and back and forth on different of her social issues.
It...
Each side has flip-flopped.
When they bring up the Supreme Court, this is what they're talking about. But they're talking about it in a way that is meant to galvanize their base, which is, you know, Donald Trump's picking Supreme Court justices. You can kiss your abortion rights goodbye. You know, or if Hillary Clinton's picking Supreme Court justices, gay marriage will be everywhere and mandatory. And you know,
no, and
that's the one area where it's come in. But the broader issues behind it, no, we haven't seen it at all.
Yeah, with regards to the Supreme Court, Donald Trump has made a 2-page list. Hillary Clinton, I don't think you're going to see anything from her. But each candidate has both said, you know, we're going to pick somebody that has experience, not just in the courtroom, but has that real life experience that has values. I think Trump was pushing the value aspect of it, where Clinton is pushing the real life experience.
I kind of see them both as a draw on that front. Maybe you get slightly more liberal justices out of Hillary than you do out of Trump, but I don't know. Do you support Obamacare? Donald Trump has made it clear that he would repeal Obamacare as soon as he took office and encourage Congress to pass legislation that would allow insurance companies to sell health coverage in every state without onerous state-specific rules, encouraging a free market that would allegedly lower rates for consumers. Trump would also allow a 100% deduction of health care premiums from federal income taxes. So if you pay $6,000 a year, it comes off your income. He would also allow expansion of tax-free health savings accounts to accumulate money indefinitely and even allow them to be passed down as part of an estate. That one, now I brought up the new federal entitlement program under the paid leave with Hillary Clinton. This one is one of the more alarming things I've seen come out of either candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is basically saying you set up a health savings account, put as much money as you want into it. That money can accumulate. The way they work right now is you can fund them, I think, up to $6,000, something like that. You have to use that money before the end of the year or you lose it.
That was actually recently just introduced at my job. They had normal every month or every couple weeks you would pay a certain amount. Then they introduced and sat down with everybody that was insured and said, we have this new thing where we're going to give you a certain amount of money. And when it's gone, it's gone. I think a lot of insurance companies do that. Or it doesn't kick in until you pay a really high premium of, say, like $500 or $1,000.
Here's what Donald Trump is saying. You open the account, put as much money as you want into it. It accumulates year after year. There's no taxes on it. And you can pass it down to your kids. That is a classic tax shelter. That is a Mack truck-sized loophole in the tax law.
With no ceiling.
There's no ceiling mentioned on his website. Mm-hmm. No ceiling at all mentioned. I assume Congress would put one in there. Basically, Donald Trump is pushing a tax shelter for the everyday American. If you got $5, you can throw it in this thing. You're not going to pay any taxes.
But nobody would look at it that
way. Well, some poor people would take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. But really what's going to happen is the wealthy are going to be stuffing millions of bucks into these things. One income. Oh, no, that went for my health care.
You know, fall down the stairs and break my leg.
Hillary Clinton has said that she supports Obamacare and wants to further reduce costs, but has broken with the Obama administration and said that she supports a repeal of the tax on so-called Cadillac health care plans. These are the big PPO plans that let you get whatever you want in any health care system anywhere. Obamacare currently taxes those, with the idea being that that extra money will help to support low-income people who need health care. Hillary Clinton supports repealing that tax. What was interesting, and this came out of the WikiLeaks posts, is her reasoning behind this, because she says in an email to her senior advisor, Ann O'Leary, I quote, "Given the politics now with bipartisan support, including Schumer," that's New York Senator Dick Schumer, "I'll support a repeal with sense of the Senate that revenues would have to be found. I'd be open to a range of options to do that, but we have to be careful that the Republican version passes, which begins the unraveling of the ACA. And this is the important line, the unraveling of the ACA. Which is the Affordable Care Act.
So she recognized that it is falling apart.
This is Hillary Clinton in a private moment saying, I want it unraveled.
Mm-hmm.
This is what she is saying. And there has been a lot of speculation around the edges that Hillary Clinton actually supports a single-payer health care system, Medicaid for all.
Mm-hmm. Now, something that I'm just going to kind of plug in. One of my favorite quotes, though, was in the beginning of the Trump campaign when he did say that he was going to replace Obamacare with something really, really terrific.
Yes.
I don't know what it is yet, but it is going to be terrific. One thing that I do like, Hillary Clinton, she is opposed to capping out-of-pocket charges for drugs at $250. This is something that we've been seeing in the news as of most recently with that drug for HIV patients, as well as the EpiPen, where companies are raising it up 700%. You now have a product that is life-saving that is costing you almost $1,000. So she is saying it's going to be capped at $250, regardless of what it is. Talking about pharmaceuticals, Trump has also said that U.S. patients should be given the option to purchasing drugs overseas to, quote, bring back more options to consumers, end quote. So he believes that the state should also have greater control federally administered Medicaid program and provide health care coverage to low-income Americans. Hillary Clinton dealing with Medicaid, you know, it's pretty much what you just said with the single payer.
Yeah.
That's what she hasn't come out and said it, but that's what it's.
Publicly, she said that she wants to expand availability of affordable health care and control prescription costs.
Yeah, it's everything that a single payer would have, but
right,
without the name.
I think the understanding that people have is, oh, she's going to expand Obamacare. Privately, what she said in this email,
yes,
begins the unraveling of the ACA, points to something very different.
Mm. Right. Do you believe in Common Core? So Clinton has defended Common Core education standards, calling it a nonpartisan effort that was aimed at ensuring parity in education. Quote, it wasn't politicized. It has tried to come up with a core of learning that we might expect in the students to achieve across our country, no matter what kind of school district they were in. So Clinton has opposed to increasing spending on computer science programs in public schools and providing free in-state public college tuition to students for families that earn under $85,000 or less. Free tuition programs would expanded to students from families who earn up to $125,000. So it kind of brought in two things here. Free tuition for colleges and Common Core. Donald Trump has said he supports, he does not support Common Core. He completely opposes it. He actually has come out and said that he would consider eliminating the U.S. Department of Education or cut its spending by a lot. So you have two different aspects. Donald Trump, correct me if I'm wrong, has not come out and said too much with regards to free tuition.
He hasn't said anything really on that front, no.
So
and
I have to give it to...
That is a Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren rallying cry,
mm-hmm,
that resonates with the young voters.
Of course.
But is unlikely to see any sort of actual implementation because how do you pay for it?
That's the biggest question that so many people were asking when Bernie Sanders was saying that everybody should be able to go to college for free.
Well, so I think Bernie ultimately modified that to it would be free community college.
Yes.
And that was something that was workable if you made a greater public investment in community colleges.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at community college as just an extension of high school.
That is...
But I do believe that if you do get this free tuition, you have to have the standards. Not everybody can just slack off in high school,
right,
and not go in. It's the same thing with charter schools. It's you have to have the smarts to do it. It will push you to know that, hey, if you get all A's and B's, you're going to be able to go to college for 2 years for free.
Yeah.
I think that is very enticing for people. So you're kind of split here. Do you want to know a little more from Trump about tuition? Will it ever happen? I don't know.
Yeah, he's vague in certain areas, and he's very clear in other areas. We know he wants to put up a wall. We know he wants to be very tough on China.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary Clinton really does not have that same economic viewpoint. We know that Hillary Clinton believes in free trade. Hillary Clinton supports a lot of federal programs. Donald Trump seems to support unwinding a lot of federal mm-hmm. programs. We're out of time on this, unfortunately. I mean, we haven't even touched on foreign policy. Maybe we can sneak it in a couple of weeks. We'll see what happens. But we still have the Massachusetts ballot questions to get through as well. But at least tonight, you've heard some actual policies from these candidates and hopefully gotten a stronger sense of what they really stand for and what they're really about. And at the end of the day, for me, when I look at it, what I see is a very typical Republican and a very typical Democrat who probably should have spent less time calling each other liar and sexist and more time talking about what matters. This is WMFO Medford.
Hi, this is James Brown, soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
WMFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. And you can give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. Again, that's 855-915-9636. I was almost going to say the letters again. Well, of course, it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. And we promote so much our Facebook page, which you can go to facebook.com/thebigpicture and get all the news stories. One more thing promote that is coming out of this show. I recently just launched, if you go to the YouTube channel, my boyfriend and I, Warren, we eat a lot of weird things. And of course, I talk on the show about the weird things sometimes we eat, but we go to a lot of really cool places, whether it be breweries, restaurants, you know, sometimes hole in the wall places that seemingly don't seem like that good and are amazing.
Kale. They eat kale. That's the weird thing that they're eating.
No,
it's kale. Stop eating that kale.
Yeah. Last thing we had, calves brains, which I never had. Kale. He had before. A hesitant to try it, and it was good.
Some folks call it head cheese.
Yeah, you fry it, and hey, why not?
Yeah, so, no, you don't, but, you know, by all means.
So right now, we have three videos up. One is Best of Boston Magazine, Best Taco Winner, Cancun Taqueria. So we do that, and then La Bernadette, one of our bucket list restaurants over in New York, and we also have Armsby Abbey, a local bar and restaurant out in Worcester. So you can go to the YouTube channel. It's loveme.feedme. And yeah, give us some comments. Give it some likes.
What's that again?
Love me. One word. Loveme.feedme. Also one word.
And you can also post those videos to
because
our feed.
Because if you love somebody, feed them.
You can also post those videos to our feed so that people can find them when they go to bigpicture.com. Facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo.
Yes,
you should do that.
So definitely check it out.
Post them to the feed at facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. USA Today is out with the top Halloween costumes for 2016. Parties are coming up in another week, so you got to know. You got to know where you're going. Or if the kids are going out trick-or-treating, you're going to want to know what they should wear so that they blend in with everybody and don't have unpleasant memories that require therapy later in life. So for the kids, it's kind of all about the superheroes this year. Batman is the top costume for kids, for boys anyway. Spider-Man is second and Superman is in fourth.
I feel like those are always pretty popular.
Darth Vader's actually number three.
Really?
Which is kind of an interesting thing because the Star Wars came out last year, but Batman came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
So Batman is number one, Spider-Man's number two. For the girls, Wonder Woman is number one. That's a great costume for girls. Harley Quinn is number two. I don't know if you want your little girl dressing up as Harley Quinn. No. Sending the wrong messages. And then Rey from Star Wars is number three behind Harley Quinn.
Yeah, during Comic-Con, I saw a lot of Harley Quinns. So I'm assuming Halloween will be the same.
The National Retail Federation reports to USA Today that the princess costume is number two this year. Wonder Woman has
just
moved ahead.
Just any princess?
Just princess, the princess concept
like the
in general. Yep.
Princess.
The superheroes are beating out the princess this year. So Wonder Woman is ahead of the princess.
Not the sexy nurse.
Not for the kids.
No.
Now, for the adults, the top costumes are Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Naturally. That's your big couple's costume. You're going to love this one from Party City and eBay. Pokemon costumes.
Of course it is.
Are way up there. And I've seen a bunch of them. They got the sexy Pokemon trainer, Pikachu, Squirtle, Charmander, Bulbasaur. Yeah, they're all out there.
Is that what you and Molly are going as?
No, we're not. It's you'll find out about my costume later. It's very topical. So Pokemon is very, very popular this year. Game of Thrones. Because who doesn't want to dress up as Jon Snow or preferably Daenerys? You can dress up as Daenerys and feel free to come down to the radio station. I will personally evaluate the authenticity of your costume because Emilia Clarke, yes. Harley Quinn, also popular among the young women, which that's fine. I get it.
Everybody's sad attempt at doing their own makeup and coloring their hair.
I get it if you're in college or you're a young adult and you're wearing the Harley Quinn costume.
Because it's sexy.
It's sexy and it's bad girl and it's... And it's a little crazy and fun and there's a lot of... But for little girls, I don't want to wear the Harley Quinn. Maybe it's... And then the other big one for the adults, of course, clowns. Clowns are huge this year. Halloween Express reports clown mask sales are up 300%.
I blame Mama June.
Goodwill ranks them at number five for adult males. Target has pulled the creepy clown masks off the shelves.
I like that Goodwill put it in because that's where everybody was probably sending their old clown costumes and masks. And yeah, everybody's going to buy them now.
Clowns, clown mask sales up 300%. You think there's creepy clowns in the woods now? Just wait until the weekend before Halloween.
As we end the show every week, that's a thing that happened. The craziest story from this week's news. And, you know, referencing the number one male, what was it?
The clown costume.
No, Donald Trump.
Oh, not clowns?
A Minnesota man was wearing a Donald Trump mask, was punched in the face earlier today as he walked on a Rochester street with a male friend wearing a Hillary Clinton mask, police reported. According to the cops, a 23-year-old victim was attacked just after midnight by Gabriel Magic, 35. Police says that the masked duo was posing for photos by a passerby on a downtown street when the assailant approached and threw a punch at the man in the Trump mask. The victim was not injured, though the blow broke his glasses. Magic was subsequently arrested and charged with assault, disorderly conduct, and property damage. He was also booked into the county jail where he's awaiting arraignment on three misdemeanor counts.
Shouldn't the headline for that be Magic Hits Trump?
Yeah, how perfect.
Trump hit
so
by
maybe,
Magic.
Maybe people are going to think twice about doing the Trump-Clinton duo.
Connecticut. The Greenwich High School football team is under fire not for their play, but for what they call their plays. Debbie Levison of Trumbull was shocked when her son said he saw Greenwich players storm the field yelling Hitler, the code name for one of the team's plays. Levison approached the team's coach after the game, who confirmed that the play was called Hitler, and other sources revealed that the team also had a play called Stalin, both of which have been used for several years. The play, now banned, was also signaled by holding an index finger over the upper lip, mimicking Hitler's mustache. The Hitler call was used to indicate a shift right and was not a Heil Mary.
I got what you did there.
Hitler. They had a play called Hitler. nobody thought to say anything until someone spoke to the coach.
Yeah, and that one's lethal, that play.
Yeah, I don't know what you're teaching the kids over there, but you should not be calling your football play Hitler. That is all the time that we have got. Next week, we're going to be talking about horror movies. We're taking a break from all this election stuff. We're going to get scary for Halloween. So until then, Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.
I think we got it now.